I'd like to extend a warm welcome to everyone. And if you have your Bibles with you this evening, could you please turn to Romans chapter 3? Romans chapter 3 and reading at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You now turn to Matthew chapter 27 and reading at verse 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou would be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And can we read one last reading in John chapter 19? John chapter 19 and reading at verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. This list, this portion of Romans chapter 3, is 14 facts about mankind, how God sees us, quoted from the Old Testament. It is how God sees every man as a sinner. He says that no human has ever been righteous before God. Not even Adam, for Adam was innocent, didn't know good from evil. There have been many great men in this world, great men in science and philosophy, who many men have set their eyes upon and thought, wow, what a great man. But God says there are none righteous, no, not one. He goes on to say that no one understands. In verse 11, there is none that understandeth. May I add, There is no one that understands divine things. There's no one that understands anything about God. And he goes on to say that no one seeks after God. We look back in Genesis chapter 3 to when Adam sinned, and he sinned and he fled and hid from God. And God said to Adam, "Where art thou?" Man does not seek God. It is God that seeks man. It has been that way ever since, and thousands of years to this night. God tonight is saying to you, as a sinner, where are you? God says that we have all abandoned his way, and that everyone is useless to him. There is none that doeth good. And he says that we are not holy, but we are corrupt. In verse 12. And if you go on to verse 13, it says, our throat is like an open sepulcher. And I say that God, speaking in these next few verses, is speaking as a physician, seeing our problem with sin. And like a physician looks down your throat to see what's wrong with you, he's looking down your throat, and he says it's like an open coffin. I just want you to imagine how putrefying a coffin dug up from under the ground would be. And that's what God has to say about our throats. If you're in our meeting tonight and you think you're a good person, and you're doing good, and your goodness is getting you merit before God, let me tell you that the Bible makes it clear that you cannot do good in front of God. That it is impossible for you to be righteous in front of God. God goes on to say that our tongues are full of lies. I want to ask everyone here tonight, have you ever lied? Is there anyone here who has never lied? He says our lips are like poisonous snakes with venom under them. Have you ever said something to someone to hurt their feelings? God is saying that is like striking out at someone with venomous words. He says our mouths are full of swearing and hatred. And all you have to do is go to a public place and I'm sure you'll hear plenty of swearing. He says destruction and misery are in their ways. And man has no peace. The Bible makes it clear that without the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no peace. And in verse 18, probably one of the most important out of this list of 14, says there is no fear of God before their eyes. Let me tell you, this means that there is no respect. That man in a sinful condition has no respect to God. What does the name Jesus Christ mean to you? Is it a swear word? Or is it someone who you acknowledge as God? The Bible in this list out of Romans chapter 3 makes it clear that man is sinful and has no acceptability before God. In God's eyes, we are all left lost and we are all left to ourselves. We are coming closer and closer in our sins to a place called hell and then the lake of fire. This list may be summed up in Romans chapter 3, and if you go down to verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, you may say, well, out of that list you just read, I haven't done everything. For it says in chapter 3 verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. It says man murders. Let me tell you that the first human to ever be born into this world was a murderer. And almost every day when you listen to the radio or read the newspaper, you hear of murder. You may say, well, I've never done murder, so how can you say I'm classified in that list? Well, let me tell you that God says if you've committed one sin, you're just as guilty as of committing them all. Have you ever lied? Have you ever said something bitter towards someone? Have you ever hurt someone's feelings? That is all sin. Tonight I want to ask you, are you guilty before God? In verse 19 of the same chapter, it says that the world stands guilty before God. We are all subject to a coming judgment, and the sentence of guilty is already upon us. You can start from today and say you're going to try and live righteously and not sin, but let me tell you that your sins have already caused God to declare you guilty. In this section, it covers both our sinful words, stuff we say, our sinful actions, and the sinful intents of our heart. For Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Man is guilty and condemned, hopeless. This section, going back to God looking at mankind as a physician, you might think it's wrong of me to sit up here and tell you how you're a sinner and how you don't meet God's standards. But I'm telling you tonight that it is a blessing that you are hearing this. Because just like a physician, it would be a terrible wrong for him to not tell his patient that he has a tumor that has to be removed. For God is telling mankind that we have a problem, and that problem is sin. And thankfully, through God's love and God's grace, he has dealt with the problem of sin. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Could you now turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, please? And reading at verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. My friend, we are all sinners, and there is nothing that we can do before God to rectify that problem. But thankfully, the Lord Jesus Christ came from the glorious heavens above into this wicked world to die for the sins of man. Have you ever stopped to consider that? Have you ever stopped to consider that? 2,000 years ago, almost, he was nailed to a cross and bore the punishment for the sins of man. For this isn't no folk story like Robin Hood. This is true history. We know the crucifixion actually happened. And he died a terrible death. And friend, I want you to ever to think that, have you ever thought that it was you who put him there? I want you to consider the pain and the agony he went through for our sins. Prophet Isaiah says he was despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I want you to consider for a moment what took place almost 2,000 years ago on that cross. I want you to think while I'm going over this that it was your sins that caused that, and mine. I want you to consider the Lord Jesus Christ going out to Calvary to be crucified with men spitting on his face. I want you to consider those lashes going across his back tearing up his back like a plowed field. I believe his back was covered in blood. I want you to consider that crown of thorns pierced into his brow. And I want you to consider when he laid down his life, freely opened his arms and allowed those nails to go into his hands and his feet. And I want you to think for the verse I read in Matthew chapter 27, verse 36. And sitting down, they watched him there. And sitting down, they watched him there. The Lord Jesus Christ was paying for the sins of all mankind. And the crowd that was mocking him, they sat down and they watched him. And what do you think they saw? I'm telling you that it says in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered more than any man. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Much more being justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. I want you to consider that scene. Many men talk about a battlefield in history, and they say it was a bloodshed. I want you to turn your minds for a moment to the bloodshed of Calvary. I want you to think about blood pouring out of his body and onto the ground for the sins of men. And I want you to consider the darkness in the sixth hour, between the sixth hour and the ninth hour. When God poured out his wrath on mankind, every sin this world has ever known and every sin this world will ever know was poured out onto the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is written that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And I think of those words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the tree. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Friend, I cannot enter into the true meaning behind this verse, but it really speaks to me, and I try to understand the separation that he experienced from God. And I just want you to think tonight that he was punished for our sins, severely punished. For he was God in the flesh, and he came into this sinful world, and he lived a perfect life, never sinned. Yet he died the death of the sins of everyone. And if you turn now with me to John chapter 19. Shortly before the Lord Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." He came into this world to do a work, and that was to pay the price for the sins of man. I understand that this saying, "It is finished," also means paid in full. See, we all have a debt. Debt of sin. And he came into this world to do a work, and he completed it. He paid in full the price of our sins. No more sin offerings are needed. Nothing is needed. He bore the punishment for all our sins. And today he lives, and he will never again have to die for our sins. All you have to do is trust it. Trust in him that he came to this world. And that wicked death, he died for you. And there's nothing you can do before God. You can't try to be a good person. You can't say you're going to start reading the Bible. That's not going to get you to heaven. You can't, joining a church isn't going to get you to heaven. The fact is that the Lord Jesus Christ, almost 2,000 years ago, God came in the flesh into this world and died for sin, the sinner's man. All those sins of mankind were thrown upon him, and all you have to do is rely on that work. And that you will be forgiven of your sins. I'm telling you tonight that, just like you, I don't want to stand up here and call everyone a sinner, for I'm a sinner myself. But I am relying on the work of Christ. You could now turn to Isaiah chapter 33. In verse 13, I just want you to look at this verse because it sort of fits into my message. Verse 13 of Isaiah 33. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. Tonight we hope that you acknowledge God's might in eternally putting away sin. And we hope that you acknowledge what he has done. For the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And he laid on him the iniquity of us all. I want you to think about that. And he laid on him the iniquity of us all. God did it for us because he loved us. Is that not love? Is that not grace? We are sinners, but he died for us. I hope tonight that you realize that there's nothing you can do before God, for he sees you as a sinner. But in his love, he did it for you. He bore the punishment for you. I just want you to think of that tonight and think of those words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he hung on the cross. It is finished.